Hello, welcome to today's edition of Outside the Box, where change may not always be a good thing. Today's topic is Steady as You Go. In the previous Outside the Box, I said it's time to question even the basic assumptions in our economy, the global nature of it, the need for continuous growth, that capitalism is the best economic system, and that our economy has to be based on paid jobs. Thinking outside the box means questioning even these foundations on which our economy operates. Today, the question is, does our economy need to keep on growing? For decades, the standard of economic prosperity has been growth. The way to grow is to get bigger, and a good way to get bigger is to borrow money to expand. That means debt. But we hear mixed messages. One message says, spend more. Use your credit cards. Get stuff to prop up the economy so you don't lose your job or someone else's. An opposite message tells us, save more money. Don't buy what you can't afford. Be cautious. Don't go into hock. Our government is doing the same thing, spending billions to bail out corporations and printing money, while at the same time expressing nervousness about its $10+ trillion deficit and loan notes being held by Chinese. We talk about growth and conservation in the same breath. But growth is simply not sustainable. It's plain common sense that, as our resources dwindle and run out, we can't keep on growing, at least with natural resources. Will technology get us out of this mess? It might be a temporary fix, but not if we keep on using resources at an unreplaceable rate. We can't expect more and more fish and meat, gasoline-powered cars, computers, and paper in our economy. We just can't keep living like this. And as Kenneth Boulding said, anyone who believes exponential growth can go on forever is either a madman or an economist. A first step, we could at least scale back to what some call a steady-state economy, which you can find on the web at www.casse.org, sponsored by the Center for the Advancement of the Steady-State Economy. What could a steady-state economy include? Let's start with stable population, consumption, and production. Then lower fertility rates, less debt and buying of consumables, fairer distribution of wealth, more reuse of or refusing to use resources, and more renewables all contribute to the steady state. Without a steady state, no growth economy, CASSE, the Center for Advancement of the Steady State Economy, predicts fewer living wage jobs, bigger gaps between poor and rich, a loss of democracy, a damaged cultural heritage, and a legacy of debt, climate change, and resource wars for future generations. Not a pretty picture. We can start thinking in terms of economic redevelopment rather than growth. We can look to Europe, where the economy is just as productive but one-third less consumptive. The trade-off for Europeans, instead of extra stuff, is more free time, better health care, more savings, and lower energy use. Not bad, eh? Author William Moyer talked about the de-development of the U.S. in a 1970s article. Even back then, Moyer said that the U.S. growth model was unsustainable and would eventually bring down every country when the environment collapsed. De-development is possible just by living more like Europeans, or better still, like those in less developed countries. It would be a doable second step after reaching a steady-state economy. We can cut back, share resources and ownership more, with little or no sacrifice of convenience, and probably a better quality of life. Do you believe in an economy that has to grow? Or are you saying, but we can't keep on living like this? How much does your production and consumption contribute either way? If you think my economics are off the wall, email news at weru.org or call 469-6600. I'm Larry Danziger, and here's wishing you great success in using less and enjoying it more.